Special guest.
I met Kelly the Clown.
This is the Power Motion Picnic Hour.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Power Motion Picnic Hour. As always, I'm your host, Dave, and as always, alongside me is
Trevor.
Trevor, what's happening? How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Dave?
Yeah, I'm doing great. I feel I'm feeling all, I don't know, fall-like over here, you know?
Yeah, we've finally gotten some nice fall weather around these parts.
Yeah, I don't know what it's like by you. Although yesterday I was still running in just 2 or 3 inch shorts and a singlet. So
I've mostly been running in shorts as well.
Yeah.
Sometimes with a windbreaker if it's a little bit chilly out.
I went for a run just this past week. That was definitely a little too cold for the outfit.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
The race I participated in last weekend, which, you know, probably we'll talk about in a bit, but I also wore shorts to that and probably would have been better off with the tights.
Yeah.
It was a bit chilly.
It was cold. Okay. Yeah. But that's exciting. It's exciting to get into fall running season. Fall is an increasingly popular season, and I think every year it gets more and more popular.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a good point. Yeah. I think fall grows on people.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. That's a good point yourself. It could be just that we're getting older and then people we know like fall more and more because they've had, you know, more time to get over summer and spring and those other overhyped seasons.
Yeah. Yeah. I've liked fall a bit for a while now. I will say the light change once it starts to get dark at like 4 PM is not that great, but,
yeah,
I blame that on the system, not on fall itself.
Don't blame the season. And another thing that's nice is I feel like it's been a while since we've had one of these old fashioned let's rank the seasons episodes of the Power Motion Picnic Hour. This is something we were doing this last fall. Maybe we do this every fall.
Maybe it's a tradition. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it's kind of an impromptu episode. I think we realized the dear listener were probably going to be a bit anxious if we didn't get one in soon. I guess, spoiler alert, don't have a special guest. So it's just a traditional old school, just us talking.
That's right.
You know, so seasons are in play. I think we got a song of the week.
Yeah.
You know, we got some good content prepared. Don't
it's
get
real,
us wrong. But,
it's a yeah. real old school kind of episode. Talking about seasons, listening to music, yep. No guest.
So, yeah, I don't know. Where do you want to begin?
Well, I think in an old school episode, it's always nice after, of course, the tangent discussion about the seasons and the ranking. So I think we've established fall is still number one. We'll unveil the rest of the rankings later in the episode. I think after that, it's nice to start with the weekend running. So maybe we should kick off with your weekend running because you had an event, I believe, right? And I had no event for the first time in a while.
Yeah, it was a big weekend running for me. First one in a while. So I think I had talked probably last episode heading into the race that I had started to get more consistent about running. I think I was a few days in. I'd go on 12 days in a row of just something. So kind of wow. Embracing the micro running, if it's just like a little sprint around the neighborhood, less than 2 miles, like so be it, but just trying to do something every day. And then, you know, so I started up on whatever day that was, either the Sunday or Monday leading up to the Hexenfauer race on last Saturday.
Oh.
So I showed up to the race having not trained at all and then like ran like 5 days in a row. My legs were I mean, I was not in the best either aerobic or other fitness to actually compete very well in the race. But was actually quite pleased with my result.
And how did you do?
I did 15 miles.
Wow.
And I was pretty excited about that.
Yeah, that's a legit distance right there.
Yeah, it's the first kind of longer distance I've run in a little while. So awesome. Felt good just to be able to do it, even if it was slow, even if it involves some strategic, you know, sitting and that kind of thing. You know, in the end, I felt good about it.
Oh, congratulations and welcome back to the world of slightly longer runs.
Yeah, thank you. Had my running partner Lenny with me. Coach Friend was there, and unnamed non-listener was the race director. Actually did quite the job directing the race. Nice. Actually went out and did like a leaf blower on the course before the race.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds like the course was probably in better condition than the pitch at the U.S. men's national team soccer game in Kingston, Jamaica. I don't know if you caught that on Thursday night.
No, it was the field was in bad shape.
It was crazy. Yeah. Oh, it was totally torn up before the game even started. So we're luckily no injuries.
Oh man. I hadn't heard about that. Yeah. No, the race director here, you know, cleared the course, put some signage up. We did sort of the first lap together while posting the sign. So we all got a feel for the course. It ended up being like this sort of like double loop thing. Each one about, what was it? I guess two of them were a 5K. So, you know, one of them was whatever that is, like a mile and a half or something.
Yeah. Cool.
A little over a mile and a half. Yeah.
We got more math on this episode. I think we did a math problem last episode, didn't we?
Yeah, I was pretty confident in my answer.
I never got it. Yeah.
Turned out to be wrong.
Oh, okay. So you did get mailbag about the math question.
I mailbag myself at some point with the calculator and realized I had done it in the wrong direction. I think I was hard on a 0.4 when it was actually like a 1.6.
Oh man. Well, yeah. Sorry to get ahead of ourselves here a little bit into the mailbag and into the corrections.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's all right. But yeah, so Hexenfauer, got a participants, award. Here, I'll kind of show this to you.
Oh, cool.
It's like a laser etched piece of witch hazel, which, you know, we saw some on the course, the tree. So yeah, very nice touch. There was a nice aid station set up. We all dropped acorns on each lap into a jar with our name on it.
And, how pagan of you.
Yeah. And then at the end, everybody voted the number of acorns they had, sort of gave the pitch. And Coach Friend ended up taking home the honor of High Witch.
Nice.
He won the race. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
So
takes home the wooden scepter, as I imagine is possibly what's given to the High Witch.
Yes. Yes. So yeah, it was a great time out there. And then I got out, I just ran the next day, and then I ran the next, you know, 5 days after that, and just kept running straight through to the weekend, and did like other movement this weekend. Was not able to run, but I'm feeling okay about just, you know, kind of picking it up again tomorrow, and I feel like I'm in a good place with it. So good weekend running.
That's awesome. Running is the best.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why we're here.
Yeah. That's mostly what we're here to talk about. Running rules, and we love running.
Yeah. Yeah.
So much that when we're not doing it, we like talking about it.
But so how was your weekend running?
Good. Yeah. My weekend running was great. Today is 14 days out from the New York Marathon. So I'm fully recovered. I don't know. I did like 6 mile, maybe like a 10K on a treadmill. And then I did my first outdoor run after the marathon. I did like a 4 miler where I ran from Chinatown over the Manhattan Bridge, back over the Brooklyn Bridge. And this is the run that was a little too cold for the outfit I was wearing, but despite, mm-hmm. it was in the 40s. Despite the weather, the Brooklyn Bridge was still completely mobbed with people, even on a weekday. I keep always underestimating how many people will be there and assuming, okay, this time it can't be that packed. No, it was packed. So yeah, I did it. Anyway, I love that run though. 4 miles, gets you over two great bridges. And then yesterday I did 12 and a quarter in Central Park. And that was great. I was kind of going pretty fast. I ran the first lap with our very own female Gearshed testing correspondent. It was her first run post-marathon.
Mm-hmm.
I think we ran that first 10K in like 58 minutes.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's solid. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was her first run, and then so then she called it after that. That was her plan, and then I did another lap to do like another 10K, and I did something that I don't usually do, which is I put in headphones while running outside.
Ooh, yeah, how was it?
It was so I put in for whatever reason. I don't know. I thought I maybe needed some extra motivation, so I put in the Third Wave Ska playlist that I made when I was for myself when I was training for the Providence Marathon nearly
oh, nice.
2 years yep. ago. My playlist rules. it's just, it really, I talked about before how listening to like ska music that I liked when I was young helps trick my brain. And I don't know how fast I went that second lap. I think a little faster. So anyway, pretty solid 12 and a quarter, just to the 90s ska music and just ripping through the park. Really, really fun. Perfect weather in like the low 60s. So.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful day. And then today was supposed to be a rest day, which it pretty much was, except for the part where I went running around the perimeter of the fourth floor of my storage space in Astoria, Queens, as I tried to locate a bathroom, which turns out they didn't have.
Oh, so nice.
It was nice too big. I didn't want to waste the time walking through the whole thing, so I ran it. I was
nice.
As we talk about here sometimes, you can just run things that don't have to be runs, but I was wearing running shoes and I didn't want to waste time. So
yeah. No, I get that. My youngest apprentice, that's just sort of how he often gets around. You know, it's like you're going from the couch to the fridge. You might as well just run it, you know.
Why not?
Going from your room to the bathroom, just run it, you know, just kind of run everywhere. It saves time.
Just run all the time. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So did a little bit of that. But yeah, pretty solid week in running, only 3 days out, but what is that? That's like 23 miles maybe. So
nice. Nice. Yeah,
it was fun. I'm super stoked. Can't wait to run more. Definitely going to sign up for another marathon soon.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. I've got to figure out my my next sort of like plan. Mm-hmm. You know, I think I did commit to a marathon at some point next year. So,
well, you might want to consider the Austin Marathon that I'm considering in February.
In February, it might be aggressive for me to be ready for it by February. But
yeah, I mean, you'd have to start training right now. It's like 3 months out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll see how it goes, and then I'd say the next thing is probably just a winter adventure in the sort of, you know, 15 mile ish range. And I'm just trying to figure out sort of when and what to do. And it's kind of tricky because if I go up to the White Mountains, there's a pretty good chance, you know, snow could be a factor. And I definitely don't want to need like snowshoes. Like I don't mind like spikes for some ice or whatever, a little crunch, like that would actually be nice, but I definitely don't want like deep snow, you know.
No, that's a whole different thing.
Yeah So yeah, starting to look at some options. That's you know, part of the fun of it too. So
yeah,
we'll see where it takes me.
I'm gonna be down in the south around the winter holiday season, so I'm also looking forward to some warm weather southern runs, you know, relatively warm weather in December. So I'll be in New Orleans around New Year's.
Oh, that'll be nice.
Yeah, so that's always fun to run around there. So probably, I don't even know where last time I was there, I remember attempting a half marathon, but that was like in the spring or summer. Mm-hmm. And that was too hot. Very fun. Very fun to run down there.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. And late December should probably be perfect. So,
yeah.
Okay. That was the weekend running and that was exciting. And I think we all did great. Maybe we should move to another classic segment because for the first time in a while, we have a song of the week.
The song of the week. Yeah. Let's get into it.
Yeah. So this week, the song of the week is Rio's Song by The Hard Quartet.
For how long and how high? While we wait for the shade to reply.
Did you listen to this song?
I listened to it.
Did you run to it?
No, because I only got it, I don't know, a couple hours ago.
My apologies.
No, that's okay. And also that was like when I checked it too, so you could have sent it earlier, but did not have time to run to it, but I did listen to it several times and pictured myself running to it.
It's a good running song, right?
It's a good running song.
Yeah, it's Stephen Malkmus from the band Pavement. It's his new band.
Yep.
With it's him and three other kind of indie rock scene veterans.
Yep.
I know it's Matt Sweeney.
Yep. It's Jim White on drums.
Okay, did he play with Bill Callahan?
I'm not sure. I know the album that I know by him is one that he did with Nina Anastasia in like 2000, I don't know, 4 or 5.
Okay.
You Follow Me, and that's a great album.
Oh, cool. I got to check it out. I've never heard it. Maybe we have a second song of the week right here, or at least a second artist of the week.
That's a good one. So I was psyched to see his name on there. And then, well, at this point, I mean, we should probably look up the
fourth guy's name.
The fourth guy's name. Yeah. No, we usually don't like to do that mid episode, but,
should we look it up?
What do you think?
I'll look it up.
Yeah. Look it up.
Stephen Malkmus, Matt Sweeney, Jim White, and Emmett Kelly.
Emmett Kelly.
Isn't Emmett Kelly the name of a famous clown? Right?
I don't know.
I'll look that up too. I know we don't like to usually look stuff up on the air, but whatever. This is one aspect of making this a classic episode is that there should be the aesthetic of amateurism. And then we're certainly bringing that in. Here we go. Yeah. Emmett Kelly. That's right. Famous clown. Everybody at this moment, this is a multimedia experience, so please look up a picture of Emmett Kelly the clown. But he is like the famous hobo clown. So I don't know if that's who is in the band, or if more likely the fourth guy in the Hardcore Dead is just another indie rock veteran.
Indie rock veteran, but
not a 100-year-old clown.
I thought this was going to be an easy edit for you, another easy edit episode, until you now have to splice in 500 hobo names again.
Yeah, that's again. But no, this Emmett Kelly looks like from reading his mini bio, he's probably an indie rock veteran. He played with Bonnie Prince Billy, Ty Siegel, as well as some other folks.
Oh yeah, good indie rock resume right there.
Yeah, I don't think there's clowns in those groups.
Yeah, so but no, it's a great song. I was so glad you recommended it, because I wasn't aware of the Hard Quartet, and then I was like, oh man, this song runs. And then I decided to look up the band, and it's a new song. It's a 2024 song.
Yeah, it's brand new. It's their first album. It just came out. They're a new band of old dudes.
Yeah, I was checking out the lyrics. I mean, the lyrics, you know, are very good for running.
I meant to look up the lyrics, but I don't know them.
I'd say the song, like, you know, it's a good reminder that you don't always have to do something like crazy and new and different. Like the song itself is pretty like, you know, traditionally structured. It's got like a guitar riff that plays throughout. It's got, you know, pretty structured verse chorus thing. It's got like some solos, a bridge, you know. Yeah,
all the song things,
but it's it just works. Up above the world again, gone up above the world again.
Up above the world again, gone up above the world again. Who could blame you?
That's who could blame you? Those are some of the lyrics. Yeah.
Yeah, it feels like, I don't know what it's about. It feels like it's about a bird flying or something. He probably wrote it on an airplane or something.
It's one of those songs that I could use like feeling good running, and like just that extra is just sort of like, you know, it's just like hitting it and just like, you know, kind of getting in that same groove, or as a, you know, you're sort of feeling bad and you need something to kind of lift you up while you're running.
Yeah. For me, it's got the feeling of the song is like, it sounds like what it feels like when you're running and you start running up a hill, but like you have so much energy that the hill isn't making, doesn't feel like it's making anything harder for you. Like, you know, it feels like you're just like crushing that hill and you're loving running up that hill.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the way this song felt to me.
It's a good feeling. It's a good feeling. As I've been running hills again a little bit, it's been, you know, it's been interesting to sort of see like, all right, I'm like hitting these walls where I used to be able to, you know, run these parts, you know, more continuously. And I remember at the time I was doing it, I was like, oh man, I'm, you know, I'm dragging and I'm going slow. But the thing is I was running them, you know, yeah. I was running them continuously. And that's kind of, you know, it's yeah. all that matters, right?
I think so. And if you get the feeling, you know,
yeah,
I was, after I ran the New York Marathon, I was talking to a friend who's run it like 5 or 6 times. And so it was my first time. So she was asking me what I thought. And she was like, what did you think it was like a hard course? Because the New York Marathon is kind of famously hard, you know, and hilly. And I was like, no, not really. I didn't think so. And then she was like, yeah, me neither. And I was kind of laughing after that because, you know, neither of us are running. You know, I ran 4:19. That's not the fastest marathon time ever. And then I think she does like 13 minute miles. So she's also not the fastest runner out there on the course. And the two of us are just sitting here being like, yeah, it's kind of easy.
Like, yeah.
Meanwhile, there's people like our last special guest, you know, Tim Ball running 6 minute miles and people running faster than that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I noticed another listener was in sort of the Tim Ball cohort. In that
running
sort
time?
Of like, yeah, like high sub fours.
Wow. That's
yeah. Listener Ethan from Brooklyn
ran the New York Marathon in. What was his time?
I saw it on Strava. It was like, well, I'm probably going to potentially get a correction, but I feel like it was like a 3:50 or something.
That's awesome. Congratulations, listener Ethan, for one of the fastest known times in the Power Motion Picnic, our family.
I think the second fastest that we know of.
Yeah, certainly faster than me and my friend who I was talking to, who I don't think she's listening, but she might be.
And almost as fast as Tim Ball.
Nice. Well, that's a congratulations around to all of us, I think.
Yeah. In the top, you know, 1.7 or 8% probably.
It's just so fun.
just love podcasting about running.
And run. I'm at the New York Marathon. I just wanted to I wish I could run the New York Marathon again right now. It's hard to explain how much fun that was. It was
yeah.
good. It's good talking to Tim too, who like ran a really impressive time, and had a tough time. You know, had like a tough ending with that impressive time, and you know, and his story about you know ending up in the medical tent to run a really impressive 2:47. I think right.
Oh yeah, we're talking sub three. Sorry, yeah.
Yeah.
So Ethan would have been.
250,
not 350.
All right. Yeah. It's a hell of a time. And, but like, I don't know. And Tim, yeah. Anyway, Tim's 2:47. That was like hard. And I can't even imagine running that fast. And then there's me just like loafing around at 4:19, just having, you know, like singing. I was at the end in like the last, so I got my splits back from the race. They just, from New York Roadrunners, they just sent those to us and they broke it down by 5K. And I saw that. I think I said this from my own calculations, but yeah, I ran the last 10K with 9:10 minutes per mile. But when I was like running through the park, I was like high-fiving people and like just like running around people and like just going, like I had too much energy is what I'm saying. I should have been running faster earlier. I didn't know I had that much, you know, in me.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're there for the experience, and you said it was the best day of your life, and
probably.
So I mean, I think you did it right. You know, that's what it's about. You can always do something a little faster, a little harder. I kind of went into the Hexenfauer, sort of came up with a motto for myself. And it was, you don't have to be fast to feel fast.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. And so I put on some fast looking attire, some shoes that I had just gotten from the gear shed.
And here we are, we're swinging the door open to the gear shed. I'll see if I get a door sound effect for this part.
Yep. Let's peek on in. And so I had, you know, through runningwarehouse.com, of course, gotten three pairs to try, and they were the Hoka Mid, or sorry, Hoka Speed Goat 6 Mid.
Okay. All right. They
were the Salomon Genesis Gore-Tex, and
okay. Bit of a religious shoe, I suppose.
Yep, and the ASICS Trabuco Max 3.
The Trabuco Max, Jesus, okay.
Yeah, so an ASICS offering, lesser known in the trail community. So I thought the Hokas were kind of screaming my name because I wanted a winter running shoe. Mm-hmm. I really liked the concept of the sort of like neoprene like cuff. So it wasn't like a hard mid like hiking shoe. It was basically just like almost like a little gaiter.
Okay.
Which I thought would have been functionally helpful. But the issue with them is like the heel just didn't like catch like a normal shoe.
Yeah.
Because it turned into this like neoprene cuff thing. I feel like the heel just was unresolved.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah. Super interesting.
And the gear shed tends to get that interesting sometimes. Yeah.
They're a crazy shoe. You should check them out. They were definitely unlike anything I'd had in my foot before, but ultimately did not work. The Salomon Genesis, they felt okay. They were just kind of like a sort of down the middle-ish sort of feeling, but
yeah.
Loved the feel of those Trabuco Maxes.
All right, there you go. We don't always have a winner in the gear shed, but we have a winner this week.
No, I stumbled out with these ASICs. I brought them to the Hexenfer. I felt super fast. They're like bright yellow, so they definitely look fast. They're like Coach Friend called them like monster trucks. They're definitely like big, and I feel like I gained like a little height in them too.
Cool.
And they're pretty awesome. Pretty solid grip. Pretty solid cushion. I felt like I was like hitting my toe a little bit against the toe box, but at the end and the next day it felt fine. So it was really an issue.
You think it was the right size?
I think so. Yeah. I don't think I'd go up a size.
Right.
They're a little tippy on sort of like uneven, you know, ground pitched like, you know, two ways, you know?
Yeah.
So I like on a recent run, I kind of like rolled an ankle a little bit, but it was fine. Didn't like hurt it, but just
good.
Definitely felt like, all right, I got to kind of like stay, got to be like aware. Cause I'm riding kind of high in them, you know,
riding high. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
One thing I've done with shoes. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Just like the hard quartet would say.
Yes. Bringing it back. Yeah. Another moment I can edit the song in right here, probably.
Yeah. That song's about running in ASICS Trabuco Max 3s.
I think so. Maybe we should ask Stephen Malkmus. I'm assuming he wrote the lyrics.
He probably runs. I mean, we'll see when he comes on. We'll ask him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This won't be the last time we hear from or about the Hard Quartet. What I was just about to say about shoes is one thing I changed up about a year ago is I switched down half a size. Because I feel like, do you find this? You go, I guess you order your shoes online from runningwarehouse.com, but mm-hmm. I go into a store where they try to tell you what size to put on. And I think they want you to put on a bigger shoe than you need. Emmett Kelly style, not Emmett Kelly the musician, Emmett Kelly the clown.
They did that to me at Marathon Sports.
They put you in like a 13 and a half.
They tried to, I had run in Hoka Challenger 6s for, and like loved that shoe, and went and tried on a few other pairs. Then ultimately it was like, no, I'm just going to get another pair of these. And, and then they sized me up half a size and I ran into them and I like, you know, it was like tripping more and stuff.
Yeah.
And you know, I fall plenty,
exactly.
You know, I've fallen enough already. I don't need
the shoe to contribute to that. Yeah.
And I need more shoe to like, you know, increase my falling. So, thankfully they had a really good policy. I brought them back, just swapped them for a size down. So it was fine. But fast and free 2-day shipping and easy returns sure make runningwarehouse.com a pretty easy gear shed experience.
That's right. For all your running shoe and potential future sponsor needs, hit up runningwarehouse.com or Bobo's.
or Bobo's. Yeah.
When I'm in a shoe store, they're like, I'm like, you think this is like too big? They're like, no. And I feel like people always, they always say like, your feet are going to swell up a lot, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't think my feet do.
Yeah. I don't
Not
think
a
mine...
lot. Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't had that problem. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I prefer my shoes size 11. Thank you.
You do an 11 size running shoe?
I do an 11.
Right, I do an 11 and a half.
Nice.
Pretty much the same. But yeah, yeah, I was running in 12s, and that's what the people in the store wanted me in. No. Not right. Okay, well, good. I'm glad we covered that. That's an exciting Gearshed Song of the Week crossover moment.
Yeah, yeah. So I think I have, let's see, maybe just one other correction.
Okay.
That's not really a correction, but for those of you that went back and listened to the birth of Uncle John's band, which occurred November 8th, 1969, I believe, 55 years and a few weeks ago, we spliced some of the song in, and I told you, like, yeah, do the Dark Star, like going into the Uncle John's band. And it turns out the Uncle John's band riff doesn't occur until the with the segment called Uncle John's Jam from that recording. And it's pretty cool because Jerry's like vocalizing with his guitar what would end up being like the vocals.
And you think that they came up with it?
The vocal melody.
It came out of the jam. The melody came out of the jam, you think?
I think so. That's what I'm presupposing.
That's pretty cool. I'll take that. I'll accept that.
Yeah. So for those that haven't listened to that part of it, definitely recommend going back and listening to that. And hitting the mailbag, whether you agree or not, did that come first?
Yeah.
We'll see.
And you don't have to run to it. I actually don't usually run to the Grateful Dead.
Sometimes I do.
Yeah. I mean, I have, but, and I listen to them more than most other bands, but I don't run to them much. I don't know. Maybe I'll try it again at a future upcoming run.
I think I like running to them. They pair well with long runs, like on mountains or woods or whatever. You know, yeah. I wouldn't necessarily like to run to them as much on a treadmill necessarily.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
But if you're starting to do like an occasional outdoor, you know, Central Park or something, maybe, I don't know, maybe throw on something from like June 1976. Kind of mid-tempo.
Okay.
See how it runs.
What about like a spring 78?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were getting into some fast drugs at that point.
Yeah, exactly. 78's a little bit of a turning point.
Yeah, the Duke 78 show is really good. And had a listener actually sort of separate from the Power Motion Picnic mailbag send me a recommendation to listen to the Row Jimmy. From that album. Yeah.
Interesting.
Why don't we count it as a mailbag here? I'll read it here.
While you look it up, I'm going to put out a question to our listeners to please write into the mailbag this week and tell us your favorite era of the Grateful Dead to run to. Or if you don't like running to the Grateful Dead, you can tell us that as well. And maybe tell us why. We can discuss that next episode.
Tell us. Yeah. Why?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Row Jimmy on Duke 78 is a remarkable glimpse into cocaine's role in the band.
There you go.
I think that's accurate.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, though, it's not like it's like a super sped up, you know, version or anything. They kind of like, you know, they're in the groove, but then like you can definitely see it sort of like peeking around the edges, especially, you know, as they get into the jams and,
yeah,
you know, some of the wailing on vocals and stuff.
That's a funny thing to think about, though, because, yeah, because like you said about the speed or the tempos, this is a band that just got slower every year for their entire career. Like, essentially, I don't know if they ever sped up for a year or two. Maybe someone could correct us on that. But right? Like, the Grateful Dead is just if you look at a song that they played for like essentially their whole career, like let's say Saint Stephen, right? A song like or China Cat, maybe something that they played at the beginning and at the end. Those just got slower every like the Saint Stephen from like the 80s is a slow song, you know?
I mean, even some of their faster songs, like you know, Bertha and Direwolf just got, those got just like a little bit slower.
Did they play anything fast at the end?
Well, I feel like they like sort of some songs sort of like went both directions. I feel like some sped up and slowed down and stuff a little bit. Some were just pretty steady. Like, I don't know, did they play Mexicali Blues like that much slower?
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah. Or would they slow down a Chuck Berry cover?
Yeah. Or like Me and My Uncle or El Paso or like any of those.
Good question. My guess would be yes, but we'll see if we can get to the bottom of this before next time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll go listen to a bunch of Grateful Dead and report back.
Yeah, as always. All right. Well, we're winding down a little bit. So is there anything important that we haven't covered yet? Usually we ask that question to our guests, but this week we're asking it to each other.
You know, something, how much time do we have?
2 minutes and 52 seconds.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, something I've been meaning to say for a while is, the Minutemen. Boy, do they run.
Yeah. I've run to the Minutemen. I love that. You ran to some recently?
I run to some quite often. They're a pretty steady runner for me.
Yeah. When I was looking through my storage space today, I came across an old Minutemen t-shirt.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Didn't bring it back this time, but maybe in the summer. It's a good summer shirt.
Oh, that sounds lovely. Yeah. Have to take a picture of it. And yeah, I remember even at the community mile, I feel like we were talking about how we both had the D Boone quote in our minds about, like, you know, band on every street corner, like band on every street, record label on every street corner. And somehow the Power Motion Picnic Hour sort of being like that to like running and podcasts and, you know, do a race to the tree in Central Park, you know, go run a random double loop, do the New York Marathon, you know, do all these things.
I think that's it's a good point that actually D Boone, who I don't know if he was a runner, he certainly ran around the stage or hopped around the stage a lot.
He did good running like that. Yeah.
He certainly, sure. If he wasn't running races, he could have been great running races. But I think there are a lot of Minutemen lyrics that you could think about while running. One that just came to mind was the song, The Anchor, off of What Makes a Man Start Fires. And he's singing about a dream he had, and he's singing the anchor dragging behind. And sometimes you can feel that anchor dragging behind as you try to run at the end of a race or a longer run.
Anchor. Dragging. Behind.
Yeah. Or the Hexenfauer, where literally Lenny went on leash. I was dragging him for some laps.
There you go.
It felt like. Yeah.
A classic Minutemen lap.
Yeah, Minutemen lap. Anchor, one of their longer songs too, I believe.
I think it's like 2.5 minutes long, which for a Minutemen song, no, it's very long. Minutemen songs are short.
Maybe I'm thinking off some of those older, the later albums. I feel like they might have had like a four or five minute song, maybe.
The later albums, the songs do get longer, but that's their first full length album. So 2.5 minutes is by far the longest song on it.
That's true. Yeah. Those EPs, those songs were like, you know, a minute, sometimes
or less.
Sub-minute.
Yeah. It stands out for its length. And yeah, well, time is ticking down. This was great. I can't wait till next time. But as always, until next time,
onward.
Special guest, not Emmett Kelly the musician.
This is the Power Motion.